Well, sometimes they have to kill us. They have to kill us. Because they can't break our spirit.
Look, I don't have to do this.
You don't have any choice.
I'm trying to help you people. Now, why won't you accept that?
It's in our DNA. You have to do what old man says.
What makes you such a threat?
We choose the right to be who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power, Ray.
You have been led by the Spirit to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a cooperative service of the White Roots of Peace Council. Whether it be the modern Asaga of Peru, the current Kahunas of Hawaii, today's medicine people of the Americas, the Holy Ones of Africa, shamans of the East, North, West, and South, or the present-day Anahuacis of the Cherokee, we bring you the traditional elders and teachers of our modern times and their confidants from the Americas, the steppes of Asia, the Holy Land, the islands of the sea, Africa, and Australasia. We have not been conquered, and we defy the established order. This is Will Bluewater, the host of Prophecy Keepers Radio, speaking on behalf of the White Roots of Peace Council.
It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow? It's the 500-year resistance. You can't break the connection. Follow?
Friends, this is your co-host, Will Bluewater. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. As Bluewater, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho.
Grandfather, teach me the ways of the old, so that I may remember who I am.
Osio, Gini, Tohiju, Tohigu. This is Will Bluewater coming to you with a case of pneumonia. And I am under treatment. Haven't been well lately, so if I start hacking, coughing, I'll just turn my mic off. We had to kind of pivot tonight. Jay Hutton Pulitzer rescheduled, and Rolling Thunder's daughter Shahawan is joined us. And Shahawan, were you ever on with Mark and get a Mayan birth reading?
Yes, several years ago I did that.
Okay, and well, let's get right to it. And we also have Elkie calling in from, I guess she said, New Mexico, and Susan Stanton and others are going to be calling in here shortly. But now you called me yesterday, and we've been out of touch for I don't know how long, you know, a couple of years. And you were talking about mirrors. Why don't you tell me what you tell the folks what you told me last night and how you thought things are going to shape up, and then we'll talk about the at least temporary victory. Go ahead.
Okay, well, about six, probably about 6 or 7 weeks ago, people that I knew and me were sending out messages to Standing Rock Camp to use mirrors, because mirrors are great medicine. And we didn't know if any of those prayers that we were praying about the mirrors and stuff would be heard or, you know, taken effect. And we found out today and yesterday that a group of people did make the mirrors for the veterans to hold up. And I don't know if it was this morning or yesterday morning, they all stood in a line and held the mirrors up. And it was like, there's a picture on my on my Facebook page about it. But when I saw the picture and posted it, I was like, wow, that is such great medicine, because looking at yourself in a mirror is hard for people to do if they have not came into unity with their shadow self. Most people cannot stare into a mirror before a few minutes unless they have found that balance within themselves. And that's what we as all creation, all the people are trying to do, is find that unity within ourselves, that balance, so that we can become peaceful and unite in humanity. That's one of the things that we are striving to do. So as they held those mirrors up, it also reflected on a vibrational level all the negativity energies that had been asserted towards them through the soldiers and the police officers. So it was really a great energy that took place doing that. Plus with all the people praying. Today was a great victory, as we all know, for Standing Rock and for humanity itself, because we came together as people in unity for peace and prayer, and it has gave us the first steps to healing and coming together in balance in Mother Earth, and it's a wonderful thing.
Well, we at least have a temporary breathing space. I don't know whether. Go ahead.
It doesn't mean that it will stop the things that are going on with the oil industry and stuff, but we as people, we have stood for this. Now we need to stand up for the rest that is coming down the pipeline, because there's more coming. But as a people in humanity, if we want unity and prayer and peace with one another, we do have to unite, and we have to do it in love, not in hatred. Because one of the things I was talking to you about is people have to be aware that we are working with energy. And the balance of the energy is really what causes many things to go wrong in the world today. Because we as human beings use energy, and a lot of people don't realize that our thoughts are energy. And so depending on what you think about, whether it be negative or positive, it is creating that. So we have
right.
to learn. You know, we have to learn when we each human being, when they walk on Mother Earth, leaves a footprint of that energy on Mother Earth. And we need to know as a people to start reflecting, what are we leaving on Mother Earth? What kind of footprint are we leaving for the children? And it is an energy, and patterns and cycles. There's so many patterns and cycles that we go through that people don't realize. We are going through the cycle that was created back when Sitting Bull and all of them were here. But we are the children that are having to go through it. And if we do not start recognizing that, our children and their children and their children will have to repeat this cycle and pattern until it is broke.
Well, ever since the thing started, I look at it with a little bit of skepticism because I know how the whole builders feel about activism. And even some of the grandmothers, I haven't anything about it, but some of the grandmothers told me they were reading into George Soros' plan. And it's, you know, progressives, you know, all that stuff with progressives, it all sounds good, but, you know, the bottom line is they like to say that, you know, they're progressive, but, you know, it's the same old people that were responsible for the purges and deaths of millions of people in the Soviet Union. It's the same story. They just think they're smarter. You know, Soros himself was basically a war criminal and admitted that he was one. Caused a lot of misery. So, you know, this whole thing has really worried me and a lot of other people too. And today there was a article that came across from Oath Keepers, you know, concerning this. And, you know, I hang around those guys too. And if both sides don't listen to messages, you're just going to be barking at each other like dogs. And, you know, everybody needs to get out a little bit. And, you know, if you read the Washington Post all the time, you need to get over and read some other things, because if you're otherwise, it's just in an echo chamber. So at
yes,
least.
Yes, and the way to fix that is each one of us as a human being has a destiny to fulfill as a light being of God. And we can be sitting here looking at all these posts and reading them and reposting them, but it is through our actions and our walk in life that is going to change the pattern. Sitting in front of a laptop.
And that's it's important for people to understand that there are 40 and 80 year cycles, and this has been going on since the time of Solomon. There's a cycle of the time of we, and there's a cycle of the time of me. And people in my generation, we grew up with the rugged individual, John Wayne, you know, type of thing, and, you know, be strong. But now, and that's good, and it's got its place. And, you know, when that burns itself out, then the other one always picks up, and it goes back and forth. The problem with the time of we that we're in right now is the pendulum swings, is that the group demands that nobody step out of line. You're never not really allowed to think for yourself, and this really is kind of the fight between the two political parties. You've got you know, Hillary's side is, you know, hey, you're stupid, you know, you are not redeemable, and you know, they just look at us like we're subhuman. And you know, that's kind of stuff that set up the Holocaust and World War II. And we got to be real careful because the problem with Native people historically has been, you know, we've always had kind of the philosophy that, you know, no man can tell you what to do or what not to do. Well, the problem with that is if you don't listen to the elders, there's going to be trouble. The young kids are going to jump out, get angry, jump out and want to go fight. Well, you know, you know, there are several massacres that have followed that kind of thing. And so that's really kind of what I worry about when we're in the mode of this, you know, make a difference, you know, we got to work together, but, you know, we've got a problem with groupthink and, people not being able to think for themselves.
Well, yes, because I agree with you on that, but it is also, like I was saying, it is how you are balanced with inside yourself. If you
right.
have learned to rise above, if you have learned to rise above the karmatic wheel, which is the death and rebirth cycle, which as a human race we are trying to rise above that, when you do rise above that, you realize that your consciousness is the true self. And as you, this body is not you. It's your consciousness, and it's how you carry your consciousness. And that's what we're trying to bring people into, that type of consciousness, so that they can understand it and balance themselves. And will it take a long time for people to not get hatred and all of that out of their hearts? Yes, because you must first heal yourself before you can heal anybody else.
Yeah.
So you can't go out to the community and say, hey, let me heal you. Let me show you how to do this. You can't do that if you have not healed yourself. And this is something, you know, I wished I could have met my father. Of course, you know the story. I didn't get to meet him. But he left a good legacy for me to grow from. And one of the things that he left that I treasure is him being a part of the movie The Billy Jack.
Yep.
And a lot of people don't even watch those movies anymore. But in the trial of Billy Jack, when he is doing the spirit traveling, it teaches in there many things that we as people to balance ourselves need to know, because it teaches you the levels of consciousness you have to go through to become one with your shadow self.
Yep.
And
well,
that's what we're all trying to do.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, hopefully, you know, this has been a big, you know, 300 more tribes coming together. And you know, I mean, come on, there's been violence. I mean, you know, when Gandhi was doing his whole thing in India, there was violence too. And, you know, finally it came down to, you know, he went on a hunger strike till everybody cut it out. And,
It's that pattern and cycle that we're trying to break. But one day, we as people will break that cycle, but it has to be warriors like the water protectors and others that stand up and take the harshness that comes with it to move forward. It will take that.
That's right.
And as me as a person, I would have to say it's a good day to die. If I can die doing what I'm supposed to do spiritually and walk in my spiritual path, then I have done all I can do, and it is a good day to die.
That's right. That's right. Well, look, we've got Elkie is on the line with us. Elkie, you want to did I get your name right? I was in a real rush at the beginning of the show. Elkie,
yes,
Dewar.
Are you talking to me? Yes.
Yeah. Did I get your name right? Yeah, I was in a real rush at the beginning of the show, and want to welcome you too, and, you know, join the conversation.
Thank you.
And are you? It'd probably be better if you get off your speaker and just get on your cell phone, because it's not as good of quality. Yeah, that's better. That way there's not a lot of, doesn't sound like you're in a cave. And you guys kind of get your head together, and you know, I've like I said, I'm under antibiotics, and my chest is kind of hurting, so I need to do less talking and more listening. So I'll just kind of fade back for a while. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead, folks. Go ahead.
So did you say you live in New Mexico?
Yeah, I divide my time between New Mexico and Montana.
Oh, that's awesome. And what do you have that you share with us about Standing Rock?
I was there last week, and it was really amazing. The day I got there, I climbed the hill that they call Facebook Hill, because that's where the phones work and where you can get some internet sometimes. And I looked down on camp, and I was overcome with joy, because it was something that I had never seen before, a migratory camp of people from all walks of life, all religions, all, yeah, but all nations, and it was just really, it was an amazing sight to behold that people from everywhere, that the pipeline would bring people together in such a way that I had never seen before. And it was amazing because the elders in camp, their premise is ceremony and prayer only, and there's no them versus us. So there was nothing ever being spoken against what we would call maybe the other side, because they said they are our relatives as well. And all they do is feed their families and go to their jobs, and we do not want to hurt them. We don't want to hurt anybody. And so it was really all about prayerful action and ceremony all day long. And actions encompass something like walking from the state capital in Bismarck to the police station and telling everybody, we forgive you for what you've done. Please forgive us for what we've done to you. And so forgiveness, prayer, and ceremony were the three big premises in camp. And I had never experienced anything like it, and it gave me a lot of hope for humanity. And then, of course, today, the Army Corps of Engineers denied all the permits through that band. And that's a major, major victory. And Arvo Looking Horse said that it's Camp of Prayer. This is the largest camp of prayer in the world, just because the largest camp of victory. And, yeah, I don't know if you've heard, but it looks like
that is,
it's
I haven't heard that. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Do you know if they're going to keep that camp there after all of this is said and done?
I think so. I think some people will stay, but some people can also go home for the winter because it's really cold there at the moment. And there is no wood and there's no trees and everything has to be carted in. So I'm not sure. It just happened today. So I'm working on it at the moment to see what's going to come next. But the chairman, Dave Rochambeau, said that people can go home for the winter.
Okay, that's awesome. Do you think that many of the prophecies got fulfilled because of this camp?
I'm not familiar with all the prophecies. I'm familiar with one, you know, with some, like, people coming together, the Rainbow Warriors. But I know it's huge, and Dave said the same thing. He said, this is not just for us. This is for America. This is for the world. It's a huge precedent that has been set and today and the last 8 months, really, since April, since a group of young people started to do prayer for the land because they knew the pipeline was coming. And it really just grew and grew and grew from there. And when I was there, we had like maybe 6,000 people for Thanksgiving.
Wow.
And then the veterans came too. We had, there's supposed to be between 2,000 and 3,000 veterans there at the moment, veterans for peace, that wanted to do a human shield and shield the water protectors from any harm. So that's also unheard of.
Yeah, that is. And I heard that the starting of it was the runners from the Lakota Nation, the young children that wanted to run, that run from North Dakota to Washington, D.C., is the starting of all of that, that brought Standing Rock together.
Yeah.
They started there, and then they took off
running.
Yes,
there's been a lot of runs during the past 5-6 years or so. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it is really going to take all of us standing on what we believe in to make things happen. And I think what has took place today has been, like, such a wonderful thing, because it does show that if we come together in prayer and in unity for the same thing. Look what can come from it. It gives us
yes.
all hope and mm-hmm. peace and a lot of love.
Yes. Coming from love for instead of anger against, for example. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's very important.
And
this is a different way. This really was a camp of prayer, and the signs said it from the beginning, and the elders said it from the beginning, too. They had, and I think they still have them, for newcomers, they have orientations, and they were saying, you know, this is not your regular protest. This is different. This is prayer. This is ceremony. And it really prevailed because some people wanted to fight, I think, and because that's what we've been doing for thousands of years, to solve so-called conflict. And but in this case, it was needed, really. It's the prayer that took everything down, and it was almost like going into a time warp or to a different dimension because of it, because of the prayer. I've never felt like that before in my life. Been to many very
yeah.
intact wilderness places, but the prayer really brought it to another height, brought it to different heights.
Yeah, because it's a vibration of energy when you pray and sing and dance. It is a claim that that's the highest vibration you can get to the Creator when you're in prayer and dance and stuff like that.
Yes.
So that's the
mm-hmm.
level of consciousness that y'all were bringing in the camp, and it just moved forward.
Yes.
And
that's
an awesome feeling. You know, that's
mm-hmm.
an awesome feeling to be a part of that.
Yes. And a lot of the nations are still doing that kind of prayer and ceremony anyways. We just don't know about it, you know. A lot of the native peoples do this constantly for the earth, for everybody, for all life, really. And what they said was, you know, the police people and the military, they are all relatives, too.
They
all
are.
All relations. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we have to pray for them to rise in consciousness and see what they can do to fix the things that they are doing. Because it is about love, peace, and harmony. But what I was telling Blue Water, it's a pattern that we're trying to break that was made many centuries ago, and our ancestors dealt with that pattern, and now we as the family and the children of that generation is still trying to break that pattern. And I don't know if people understand what I mean by a pattern, but if you look at the date of when all of this has taken occurred, like on November the 27th, they had the Battle of Wauchee River. On November the 29th, and this was in 1868. But then in November of 29, 1864, they had the Sand Creek Massacre. All of this is in this time where we're at right now. We're just getting out of November, going into December. And December the 5th is Custer's birthday. Okay, and I don't think a lot of people are aware of that, but it's also Sitting Bull's birthday. So if you looked at it as a scale like you would have a justice scale, there's a balance in between that to show that the pattern needs to be broke. And the biggest thing is we do have to pray, and we have to continue to pray for the peace and water protection, because on December the 29th of 1890 was when Wounded Knee occurred, and we haven't even got to December the 29th yet. So it's
mm-hmm.
all a pattern that has to be broke, but the more people that understand that it's a pattern and can rise up in prayer for the healing of Mother Earth and for the generations and for the humanity, then we as a people and a race will break that pattern, and we will never have to repeat it again.
I would say it's already broken. You know, when I was up there with the young people, it was amazing, you know. It's just they stayed bright and shiny, even though there were some traumatizing events. And I said, how can you be like that? You know, aren't you angry or resentful? And they said, no, we're going to do this until it's over. And they didn't even take on the trauma or the PTSD, you know, like, it just didn't faze them. So when I looked into their shining faces, I felt like that pattern has been broken already. So for all of
it's
us.
It's awfully, yes. And that, well, and
I think
it is a good chance.
I think the other thing, too, is that there were an awful lot of people doing prayers and drumming and ceremonies and stuff outside of that camp all over the planet that were
yes.
also joining in. Who knows how big that was. It's probably huge.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. It's a global thing. It's still going on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's why I said what I did when the show first started. It's a great victory for all of us on a humanitarian level tonight, what took place at Standing Rock, because of all the people that came together in prayer and in peace to save the water. And we as people don't know how many people that is, because it is all over the world. But we stood together and united together in it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
It's interesting, too, because some of the Hopi and one of the Mayan elders and stuff that I work with, too, is that they said that we could, as we move into the next world, that, you know, it could be bad and, you know, violent and all that, but they also said that, you know, we could choose another way, and they described the next world that we're moving into as literally blooming into peacefulness.
Mm.
And it could be extraordinary. And I think what we're seeing here is a big movement in that direction.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Can I share with you a vision that was shown to me that I had a long time ago about the fifth dimension and the fifth world that we're moving into?
Sure.
I'd like to share it with y'all if y'all would like that. Because of the Mayan calendar, a lot of people were not understanding about the Mayan calendar. You're one of the ones that do understand. but we were moving out of the energy pattern and frequency of the male energy when the Mayan calendar ended in 2012. When that took place, we moved out of the male energy of the universe and moved into the female energy, which we have now this big, long cycle of female energy, which is supposed to wake all of us up into our consciousness. The male energy was put us to sleep, kind of like we were a bear in a cave asleep. But now as people, we will learn to wake up in consciousness. They showed this to me in this vision, and when we come to break the patterns and stuff, the world that we are living in right now is the last planet in this universe. There's many more other universes, but this is the last planet. And depending on how we bring it forth, it will rise up into the fifth dimension, which would be called Manatara, the place of peace. By the way,
Susan Stanton just joined us. Go ahead.
Oh, great. Hello, Susan. Back to what I was saying. So when it rises up into Manatara, the place of peace, we as the human race have moved up in consciousness. If we do not achieve that pattern, because it is an energy pattern, the earth will stay in the lower heavens, in the underworld. It will become the last planet of the underworld. And that's what we're trying to achieve, too, that people are not aware of, that was shown to me in vision. It's all on an energy base. And if Mother Earth has energy, the chakras of Mother Earth, just like we have chakras in our body, all of that plays a part and is in tune to the vibration of the universal pattern. we as human beings have been off balance of that pattern, and we're trying to get back into it to be balanced. And that's where we have to learn to become balanced with our shadow self first, because our shadow self is very important. Now, in many religions, they try to teach you to push that shadow part of yourself, the bad part, away. Don't deal with that. Don't be like that. Well, you can't push it away. That's called the great separation. You have to learn it's there, and you have to learn to bring it into control over you, because you are, your I am, your spiritual self, is the commander over your shadow. And you have to teach your shadow and your spirit to learn how to dance, and then you dance the dance of life. And when you learn the dance of life, that is when you have become balanced with your shadow self. He's not your enemy, but in a lot of people, he's the enemy right now, because we have this great separation going on. But when he becomes your joint heir within yourself, and I will tell you this, your shadow self is your male energy that runs in your body, and your spiritual self is the female energy. When it is connected properly, like plugging it into a wall socket, you will dance the dance of life. But you have to learn how to get there and understand it to be able to achieve that. And that is what we have to teach a lot of people. We have to show people this is how you do it. Your shadow self is actually your warrior self, like the water protectors who stood up on the truth of what they knew was true to fight. Spirit says that is okay to be like that when you're standing on the web of truth, not the web of life. It's a very powerful vision that I had. But thank you for letting me share that with you.
So what do you think, Susan?
Well, I personally love it, and I'm really grateful because you've given me a lot of food for thought. I'm especially interested in the part about the male self, the male side of ourselves, and the connection to the shadow, and the female, and the connection to the light. And I do agree with you that if we're going to really self-actualize or self-realize and become everything that we came here to be, we have to not only accept but love all the parts of ourselves and each other. We can't do that with each other until we do that with ourselves. So, anyway, like I said, this was beautiful and a lot of information, and I'm looking forward to it.
I would love to sit and talk with you, because you have information for me and I have information for you. So maybe we can hook up after the show.
That sounds great. And I feel that excitement. And I did when Will mentioned something earlier today about you, and I felt that connection beginning. And I believe that's how it starts. You know, we're already connecting, and then when we finally meet with our voice, we're already a lot further down the road than we realize. So I'm excited. Thank you. That'll be great.
I'm excited too. That's awesome.
Now there's somebody else that would be wonderful for you to talk to. Who all is on now, Will? Is Elkie on, and Mary and Forrest as well? Are they all here?
Well, just Elkie,
yeah.
Shahawan, Mark, and I.
Okay, because the other two are getting on, and Mary Lavin is someone that you would really be interested in talking with as well. I know that because I can already see where there's a lot of kindred spirit there. So, thank you.
That's awesome. Well, my purpose, my destiny purpose, my sole purpose that the Creator has gave me to do is I travel all over the place. And I teach. I will come to your home. I will come to a group. I teach people how to balance their shadow self and get in tune to dance with their spiritual self in the dance of life. It's not something that happens overnight. It's a process that you have to go through. But that's what I do. And along the way, I do great healings with people.
That's beautiful. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. That's beautiful.
So that's what I do. So right now I'm in Pensacola, Florida.
Aha. Well, I'm on my way to Naples.
Well, I was working on some of the vortex lines here, and I'm very interested in talking with you because you do line work too, don't you?
I do. Yes, I do.
Yes. So, see, I know.
Yep, I think we'll be busy.
Yes, we'll be very busy. But that's what happens when you become balanced enough to, like I was telling Blue Otter and them, you first must heal yourself before you can go out and try to heal anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is a pattern cycle that you go through. And I have can see the patterns and the cycles really very well. And I have watched my own cycle because of the way my life went and not being with my parents. It threw me off my course for a long time, but Spirit put me right back on it. And I had to walk through all that karma and all the lies that were built upon my web of truth. And so for years it took me a long time for those lies to crumble to put me back on the route where I could stand strong. And so now I teach people how to do that because you do have to cut away all the lies that are on your web because we walk the web of life. And every time you walk, like I was telling Blue Otter and them, you put down an essence of your energy in your footprint. That is the web that you are creating. If it's
beautiful.
Based on a lie, if it's based on a lie, that lie will fall and fall down with it eventually because the lie cannot stand strong like a tree. And Creator wants us to stand tall like a tree and connect because we are water. We are life. We are Creator. He is us, and we are Him.
Oh, that's beautiful, and that's so true. Now, have you had a chance yet to meet Elke, who's also on the call?
I have talked to Elke.
Aha. Well, I think there's a lot in common there, too.
Yeah, because I was thinking... When you were talking about the feminine and the masculine, you know, water is the feminine. And in the Standing Rock movement, the women were taking a leading role. And they were featured in a lot of ways. And actually, Vogue was there and did a piece on the Standing Rock women. It was really interesting. Vogue magazine was featuring the water protector women. And it doesn't mean that the men are excluded. It's more like that the feminine aspect of all of us is coming out and was really, really featured in so many ways at Standing Rock and still is. It's really interesting because I talked to a friend yesterday who went there with the veterans. He was in Iraq and he's in his 20s. And he was saying, you know, he said, "It's I don't want to fight. I want to go there and really meditate and pray like it's intended to be. I don't want to be at the front lines and have my trauma reactivated and fight." He said, "I want to go into my feminine side and pray and do ceremony there. That's what I feel I need to do, and I can't be pressured into doing anything else." He said, "Because it's now time for," and he's a warrior, in the true sense of the word, that he really needed to go to combat, you know, to Iraq. And he said, "It's time now for the feminine to come in, for the nurturing and for the collaboration and for us just being there and praying and following the women." He said, "I would like to do the women's actions, actually, that are prayer-oriented and not so much fighting." And there is a lady that was leading the women
to the front lines, and she would tell the police and to the whoever was on the other side of the line, you know, I'm coming with a bunch of women. We're going to pray for half an hour. And they said, okay, they get 25 minutes, but then they got an hour, and she never had anybody arrested. Whereas the people that went with the older, more masculine shadow approach of fighting, those were the ones that got arrested, and that started altercation. So water is feminine, and water protectors are utilizing and reviving that aspect of all of us that now needs balance with our hyper-masculine side.
Mary Levin has joined us. Mary Levin has joined us.
Hi. Hello, everyone.
Hi,
Mary.
Hi, Mary.
Yes. Hi, Susan.
Well, I was going to say hi just before Mary begins, and I just wanted to throw this in, too, with Elke. When Mary and I and some of the grandmothers from Denmark and other people went up there to Standing Rock, we had the opportunity to drum and sing for the water ceremony in the morning, and I believe they have them every morning. And we estimated there were maybe between 400 and 500 people who came down to the water there to use the water for the blessing. And what was really amazing to me is that the men and the women were clearly involved completely in the ceremony, but in a different way, each one in a different way. And I thought that was really beautiful. And afterwards, there was a German television program. They were there, and they had their cameramen, and the woman was the moderator. And she stayed there and was part of the ceremony, participated. And when it was all over, she just kind of threw the guys right out and stayed on. And I just thought that was so cool that, you know, they each were polarizing, but at the same time we're in this major oneness. And it's the water, I think, that's facilitating that. We think that we're facilitating the water ceremony, but in actuality it's the water facilitating us. So I thought that was beautiful, and I'm glad you brought that up. So just to add Mary into the call. Yeah.
Yes. Hi. I agree with you, Susan, that ceremony was it was such a completely balanced ceremony, more than I had been involved with in a very long time. And everybody had a very distinctive part in that ceremony. And yet, when I went down to the water, during the ceremony, each of us went down, put some tobacco in the water, and with a prayer, and then we also drank from the Missouri River. But when I drank that water, there was something that had so spiritually altered in myself that I haven't been the same since. It was like the first time that I had truly connected with not only what was going on in Standing Rock, but what had gone on in previous generations and what will be to come as well. It was this continuum of things that happened with that water, and it came to me all immediately at one time, and it was so overwhelming that I burst into tears, and I didn't think I'd make it up the bank again, but managed to control that and got up there and really I stood for a while there on the bank and really felt that water in me, coursing in me. So there's a very good reason, I believe, why now that feminine energy has come into play. I believe that this it's a very interesting and a very spiritual time, and it's a real turning point. It's a turning point in the United States with the people that were there at Standing Rock and that will be continuing to be there, being vigilant, because even though we've gotten a very good outcome, as we must have heard, I just came on, so I don't know what you've already spoken about, but we did get a very good outcome today, but we do have to remain vigilant, and solidarity has to remain as well.
Yeah.
So.
That's true. That's very true. Thank you, Mary. We have Rolling Thunder's daughter.
Story.
I'd like you to introduce yourself to Mary and then again to everybody that may be just coming in now, because you're a fascinating woman.
Well, thank you. I'm just me. My name is Shaha Wynn, and my English name is Margarita. Because a lot of people cannot remember for some reason Shaha Wynn. But I have, like I was saying, my sole purpose here is to walk in balance. And my dad, at this time, I did not know he was my father. I was probably 7 or 8 years old. He came to where I was at and gave me a stone. And at this time, I just knew him as a railroad worker. And he told me I had to hold on to this stone because I was going to bring balance to the people. And I've held on to the stone, and I look at that stone a lot. And it has guided me to learn how to balance myself and to help others balance. And it does start with yourself, and you have to go in and talk to your shadow self and to your own demons. And you have to correct all of that inside yourself before you can even teach it to anybody else. So my journey has been a long journey, but it has been a wonderful journey, and I don't think I would change any of it, because the lessons, even though they were hard, I learned from. And so now, about 2 years ago, Blue Water doesn't even know this because I haven't talked to him for probably about 5 years. I was given a vision to wear, to make these outfits and get out of street clothes. And I kept asking Spirit, why do you want me to make these? But I made them, and I have been out of my street clothes now for almost a year. And when I got my last outfit done, I prayed to Spirit and said, okay, I have my clothes done. What's next? And I heard this little voice say, one prayer. And I created this card that I walk around in my outfits, because Creator sends me everywhere to teach. I never know where I'll be at. And I made this little card that says Healing Hearts, through one prayer. And the prayer that Creator told me to tell this to every person that I hand this card to, even if you're not religious, those were tools that the ascended master of Jesus brought down to us to use. Buddha gave us tools. Gandhi gave us tools. Mother Teresa gave us tools. And if we tap into these tools, we can use them to heal people. So this prayer that every family member should pray when they get this card is, and I'm going to say it for y'all, Father, I come to you today to ask that you bind up the spirit of hate off me and my family's life and replace and cover us with the spirit of love, in Jesus' name. And so for a year now, everywhere I go, I pass these cards out. And I talk and I heal people and I teach about balance. And my plans were to go to Standing Rock. And I probably still will go to Standing Rock, even because all of this is over with when the time comes. But that's my journey. And it's a wonderful journey. But it took me a long time to get to this spot where I'm at to be able to do this. And I did have to face all my demons. And I had some rough demons, just like everybody else does. But now I dance with my shadow self, and it's a wonderful dance. And that's what I like to teach to other people.
Thank you. And I think that we all do resonate with that, too. And it's the journey. It's the part about the journey. I wanted to also bring Elke in on this, because Elke has a phenomenal journey. And it's about balance. and it goes into another kingdom, but it's actually all one too. But I know this because Elke has changed my life and affected the lives of many other people, but also animals. So Elke, would you like to bring that in now?
Yeah, because we're really all one, and the animal, plant, and mineral nations are just another part of this world that we have kind of disowned and that we have stood above and not in the circle, and we are not calling them in the circle still because we're making decisions for them, not with them. And so my latest project has been to compile a documentary, a narrative about our last wild bison in the Northern Hemisphere. And for that, I migrated with them for 3 years. And so the prairie is really my home. And I spent probably half of the year on the ground, camping or sleeping on the ground, to be to have my body on the pulse of the earth. And at this point, you know, I can feel how she's feeling wherever I am. I can feel when she's not feeling so good and when she's having a hard time and when she's healthy. And I can really communicate with her and all of her creatures, like the animals. I used to do that when I was a child, and then I had to shut it down a little bit, but the last 3 years being in the prairie have opened that channel again. And so I would love to bring in the bison, because the bison is also the sacred feminine. It is a symbol. She is, and they are, a symbol of the feminine. They're the ultimate givers, the ultimate sacrifices, the ultimate caretakers. They take care of each other, the whole herd, their children, the old ones. And they are really the teachers, because we have lost a little bit of that art of caring for each other in a healthy way. And the bison certainly have been way showers for me, because even one of the tribes has told me, when we have so-called bad parents, because their parents were in boarding school and then couldn't teach their children, for example, we don't punish them. We know they haven't had good role models. We just have observed a herd of bison for a few months, and after that, they know how to be parents again. So that nurturing comes to us through the earth and the animals, and all we have to do is be with them and really give them the honor of having a personhood, not just being there for us to use, but also being here with their own purpose. And that has been a privilege of mine in the last years, to really be privy to that. And we can bring them in. And at Standing Rock, they came. A huge herd of bison came, because they come out of nowhere and they lend us their lend their strength and their love and care and concern to us. And also a flock of geese decided not to migrate south but stay with the water protectors. I don't know how they're going to survive, but they decided to loan their energy to the water protectors and stay there and not go south. So I could talk all day about this, and I know we don't have that much time, but I just wanted to throw that in. It's not just about us. There's a whole other universe out there. And the animals are certainly here to care for us and to teach us and to be with us. And they're waiting patiently to be called into the council fire, to the council fire again, and sit there with us.
That is beautiful.
Thank you, Elke. Well, Blue Water, I hope you're seeing that each one of these women needs to have their own show one night, or five nights,
yeah.
Maybe a month.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what's really fascinating? Isn't it cool how everybody is actually, we're all aspects of each other in that way? Because Mary talked about, you know, our activation that took place at Standing Rock and being part of the water and the ceremonies. And, you know, all of us are we're all on the same page. And with the buffalo, Elke, one of the things that I think is really profound is the way that the males, the bulls, are on the outside with the females and the babies on the inside in the blizzard. I love that story. And that's what we have now going on. That's what's happening with the work that the women are doing with the grandmothers and and with the water. We can't do it without the men.
No.
And I just love that.
Because we're all together. And this is something that I teach too. When you put your shadow self together with your female side, your spirit side, and you come in balance with yourself, then when you have your mate on the outside, you do the same thing. And that makes the whole unit of energy pattern for the universe when you do that, when you're able to do that and come together like that. It's amazing.
Very nice.
And wow, we've talked about a lot of things tonight.
Yeah, Mary, do you have something to put into that? I told Mary once she was an enigma. And so ever since then, I've just really listened to her. And I'm telling you, I learn things new from her all the time. So, Mary, where are you?
I'm right here. Can you hear me?
No, I couldn't hear a thing. Could you guys hear her?
We can hear you now.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm on now. Okay. Well, the thing is that I was going to say is that, you know, in one of the biggest transitioning times of my life, I was in such a place of despair, and I had had a lot of dreams about my last previous life as a Mandan Indian. And I decided that I needed to do something with myself, and I just didn't know what else to do. So there's a little rescue park that's not far from where I live, and I went to this rescue park, and they have a small herd of buffalo. And I sat with the buffalo, and normally when I'm with the buffalo, they're way out in the middle of this pen that they have, which is quite a large enclosure. It's not small, and they're treated extremely well. And but normally when I went to see them, they were all far away or by the food, of course, which you couldn't access as in any pedestrian way. But this time I had gone there and I brought my pipe and my tobacco and I brought my drum, and I was just not knowing what to do with myself and began crying with this heartfelt sadness that I had. And the buffalo all came to me, and they were inches away from me. Like, they even had a double fence, and these buffalo came between the double fence. And it was as if they wanted to comfort me, like I was part of the clan. And as I began crying and continued to cry, I said that I wanted, you know, to have some clarity about a situation that I was going through. And I heard the buffalo bull say to me I could go to a ghost dance that, it's a long story about that and I won't go into that, but it was a ghost dance that I had organized for someone. And the buffalo said to me, you can go to that ghost dance if you want, because you did all the work for it, or you can have your own. And I said,
wow.
How could I have my own? I said, I don't know anything about having a ghost dance. And I said, like, for example, I said, where would you have one? And so I packed up my things and I left, and I went to call the person who I got, my go-to person, and it's Karen Sparrow, and you've heard her name before. And I called her up and I told her what I had heard from the buffalo. And I was looking up in the sky, and there were four eagles flying over my head. And I was like, oh, wow, there's four eagles flying over my head right now. And she's like, oh, that's your sign. And I'm like, no, what? I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. But the animals are always there. They're always there. And so in gratitude for all of their communication to me, I feed every possible thing that comes to my home. We did, by the way, have our ghost dance, because miracle after miracle after miracle opened up where my first question was, where would I have the ghost dance? And the so I left that question wide open. And then about 4 days later, somebody called me up and said, you know, did you ever think about having your own? And I said, well, funny you should say that. And he said, you could use my property. And I thought, wow, that was spirit talking. And so from that point, things opened more and more and more. And so, yes, we did have it. And we will be having it again this summer at the same place in June, on June 24th, with water ceremonies and a water dance from our friend Danny from Amsterdam. So there's going to be a lot of other activities that week. But they, like back to the animals, as far as their communication and how they give back is, you know, I feed them all. They all come to the house. Tonight I had leftover sugar from making some cookies, and we gave them to the deer. So they all love it, you know. But they let you know exactly what's happening. And so there was a lot of gratitude happening around here today. It was a happy day. And I guess it's because of, you know, the good news. So anyway. Well, I hope that wasn't
beautiful.
Too long.
That was wonderful. 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 How about Forrest? Is he on at all, Blue Water?
No. He hasn't joined us. We got about 15 minutes left.
Forrest has a buffalo ranch, and he's got a huge bull named Brutus, who is, he doesn't say much, but he's very wise. So I was hoping that we'd have Forrest to talk a little bit about Brutus. But if I could just take a second, I want to share my story. Alki, may I tell my story about you? Would that be all right? I don't know if Alki is still on the call or not, but when When we had this conference in August, somebody gifted me a little puppy. I think it was the day before the conference started, and it was just madness. Anybody that's done a conference knows how challenging it is. And now I have this little puppy who was only he was half the age that he should have been when he was given away. He was just tiny, and he was so, all he did was cry, and he screamed. It was just awful. So I ran to Walmart and bought him a little pouch and put him on the front of me in the pouch and just tried to keep him so that he knew he was loved, even though, you know, he was by himself now with me. And but it was really hard to keep my attention on him. Anyway, at one point, I think it was the second day, or the first day, Alki came up, and she said, may I help you with your puppy? And she just leaned toward him, and in that moment, he just wilted, fell asleep for the first time, and completely transformed. And Alki explained to me what was going on with him, and I'd never heard anybody be so completely understanding and empathetic. And I learned from her how important it is that we understand them as much for their sake, yes, but even more so for our own, because we can learn so much about ourselves by being able to communicate. And I think it goes back to what you had said earlier about the shadow side. You know, that when we see ourselves in an animal's eyes, they can cut right through all the things that we're afraid to look at. So I just want Alki to know how much, she already knows because I tell her all the time, how much I appreciate her, but how grateful that I am to know that there are teachers like Alki out there. So, Blue Water, did you have anything that you wanted?
Forrest just joined us.
Oh, yay.
Hi, Forrest.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, Forrest. I was just saying about Brutus. I don't know if you heard that. Oh, he doesn't
talk
much.
I was listening in. Oh, no. He does. You know,
but
he's not around
to me
that often. Okay, well, you've only been a short-time visitor occasionally. He does speak, and it really in your benefit to listen.
Mostly I was going to say, buffalo are very chatty.
It's mostly my benefit to listen because he's usually talking to me. It's usually very important.
Oh, he's very wise, very wise. But he was very, very quiet the day that I met him. He just was watching. So,
well,
but
Elkie checking
needs to
out.
Come down someday.
But Bonnie heard him talk, and she paid very close attention. She's never forgotten. So I asked Bonnie Hobbs about Brutus. Yeah, Brutus spoke to her.
Yeah.
Hey, I hear his relative in the background.
Yeah. We love you too.
Okay, enough of that. I won't do that anymore.
That's pretty good, though. Pretty good.
Well, we're glad that you're on here for us. So throw some forest wisdom out here. We were just talking a little bit for a moment about the conference in August, and it was really exciting to have everybody there.
Yeah, that was a good one there. Sorry I couldn't stay for the whole thing, but it was good seeing a lot of old friends and meeting a lot of new ones, and some good ceremonies. It was good spirit. And apparently there was a few windows and doors opened up that are starting to pay off.
Mm-hmm.
I know it sure has. It's done amazing things for this program. It's just really a whole different thing. Oh, yeah. I have to excuse me. I got pneumonia. I'll turn it back over to you.
Well, Will, you caught me by surprise. I'm sitting there at this cafe in downtown Nauvoo ordering up a tenderloin sandwich, and all of a sudden you parked down next to me, and I hadn't seen you with short hair before. I almost fell back off the chair.
Hey, I shaved when I was living in Crestone for a year. I went completely shaved, but there was no photographs of that. What I discovered was is I was becoming more aggressive, and then I remember the part in the Book of Mormon, where they shave their heads, it changed the way the outlook. So I figured I have a little hair, my hair is receding.
That's really interesting. That's what Karen Sparrow also has cut her hair recently, and it's true. I believe that as well.
Yeah,
a long
way
to do it.
Yeah, shaving is shaving it. I did really notice after a while that I was being more aggressive, and then I've got a lot. I got 1 foot with the Oath Keepers and 1 foot in the Water Protectors, and I've been doing this ever since I met Rolling Thunder, and because of that I always kind of look at both sides, and I look for sneaky little things coming in from both directions, but I keep a respectful skepticism of everything, but I've got an open mind, and that's what a person needs.
Yeah, I got an open mind, and I have a big heart, and I'm hoping this works out, but at the same time, I'm skeptical, too, because Corps of Engineers did this once before, and after 3 or 4 weeks, they let that elapse, and it was back to business as usual. So, yeah, I'm a little skeptical of them, too.
Yeah.
But I agree.
If that happens, everybody will go back to Standing Rock.
They're not going to leave. They're saying they're not leaving.
Yeah, and besides that, it's not necessarily the reason why I mentioned before that we need to be in solidarity is because even though they are approving this and allowing this to be to not have it go through Standing Rock, they have to have it go through someplace. And where is that other place going to be? And how is it going to environmentally impact wherever it's going to be? So that's why I say we need to stay in solidarity and stay vigilant and stay constantly awake and aware to what's happening here. It's not over yet. It's just the other side of the mountain, right, Susan?
Exactly. Well, and we have this great opportunity now because that was one of the things that I found remarkable about going to Standing Rock. And, yes, you do need to go, even though, what happened today has happened. It's so important because there's an activation that takes place. Something about just putting your DNA on the ground there. And the whole idea of the fact that it's prophetic and that this is so important, and it's got this unbelievable effect that's happening around the world. And for the first time, I think when we think back to 1890, I believe it was, when it was Wounded Knee, the difference is that this can never happen quietly anymore. But at the same time, you know, I think that we just need to always be aware of what's happening. And I don't feel, we talked about this earlier, Mary and I don't think anything's over. Nothing is over. We're just moving on to another level now. And it's just like what you said earlier about, you know, we all need to grow and look at those shadows within ourselves, because that's how we help heal our community. And that is definitely what's going on at Standing Rock. So we're all hopeful and we're all positive, but there's just that little condition. And I don't know if you noticed anybody else on CNN when they were saying that tonight, that it won't be stopped. You know, it's going to have to go somewhere else, and they're going to be open to looking at that. But we need to be there when that happens.
Okay.
Yeah. But this is very positive.
And it is an energy, too. It is an energy, too. So if we do say the prayers to bind up the spirit of hate and spread love instead, that will help on different vibrational levels.
Yes, exactly. And that's what's happening. What you were saying earlier, too, it's a spiral. And we're all lifting up to that higher vibration. And I saw that and felt that at Standing Rock. Everything that was happening, you know, that we would hear about in the news and, you know, on the different videos, it was all happening outside the camp. Inside the camp was peace and love. And you'd walk and people would be quiet, but they'd be smiling, and you could hear the prayers and the songs, and you could smell the sage. I was smelling sage twice today. I smelled it and felt that it was coming from Standing Rock, and then found out what had happened. So, you know, we're totally connected to what's going on there, and it is a spiral path. It definitely is.
Some of us had talked about, in gratitude, doing a pipe ceremony, you know, as far as whoever can be reached to join in at 11 o'clock Central Time. And then also, if you can't do a pipe ceremony in gratitude, then just take a moment of silence to be thankful, because, you know, the water supported us in all of this, as all the elements they did. So we do need to be grateful for the decision and grateful to the elements that helped us and the animals as well. So it's a good time to do it, and we're hoping that we can get as many people as possible. So if any of your listeners are interested in doing it, that would be a good time to join.
Excellent. Excellent.
I'll post that on my page.
Okay, thank you.
Well, listen, if you guys are ready to run, they are going to cut us off right at, and my chest is kind of hurting. I do need to go. I've been sick twice in the last month, and anyway, let's any parting thoughts?
Well, I just want to say it was wonderful to speak to everybody tonight and come in union to talk about Standing Rock and being in unity and prayer with everybody.
Well, we appreciate everybody.
Yeah, take care of yourself.
And I guess we'll talk to everybody next week again.
Okay.
One word of common sense.
Sure, go ahead.
The pipe people, if, you know, they rerouted up farther upstream to the narrowest point of the river instead of the widest point of the river, and run the pipe across the top of the river so you'd see it if it actually leaked, instead of putting it underneath the river where you'll never know if it leaks. You know, use some common sense. You know, if you got to take pipes across, take it apart across the top of a narrow part where you can see the pipe.
Right.
Right. Well, that was probably beyond some white person's land. So
that's just common sense. You don't bury it 90 feet underneath the widest part of the river, and, you know, you'll never know if it leaks. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Prove it,
and that's why we need to stay vigilant, because it is running under the Mississippi, and we do need to always be aware of that.
And how do they fix it when it leaks? When it leaks, how do they fix something that's already under the water? How do you fix that? Anyway, that's just my question. They're not using common sense at all.
They've got huge boring machines that the federal government has been boring, and they've got these huge machines that bore nice holes, like they bored the channel between England and France, and that's the kind of technology they have. And everybody needs to have the one thing that I'll fault the Indians on is they didn't get in on, reportedly they did not get in on this discussion several times when they were asked to. That seems to be the mystery, and the other side is saying, hey, you had a chance to have an input, you didn't say a word, and then all of a sudden, you're in our face. And so everybody needs to participate. But anyway, thanks a lot, and we'll see everybody next week.
All right.
All right, good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Hi friends, this is Will Bluewater. If you have been listening to our program for long, then you know that Mark the Badger Borcherding does a Mayan birth reading for each of our interview guests. Mark suggested that he give away a free reading for each donation of $20 or more to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a ministry of Oklahoma Native American Church or the White Roots of Peace. So please support Prophecy Keepers Radio by making your free will offering at nativeamericanchurch.us. And you'll receive this gift reading. If you choose to make a recurring donation, once you've received your own reading, you can give readings away as free gifts. So why not head over to nativeamericanchurch.us and make an offering right now. Hope to be talking with you soon. Bye now.
Friends, this is Will Bluewater, encouraging you to obtain an authorized participant or AP card and become a federally recognized Native religious practitioner. Presently, Aklava Native American Church is the only Native American church spiritually blessed by the Rosebud Reservation Native American Church and has a certificate of existence in the state of Utah that is authorized to worship on or off tribal grounds and has met the standard of sincerity and vow of poverty standards in the state of Utah and federal courts. This card is designed to assist all people regardless of their racial makeup, political affiliation, social and or financial status, and receiving their constitutional rights. This card is also designed to assist United States judicial officials to honor their solemn oath to protect and exercise the principles of the United States Constitution while carrying out their duty and serving their fellow citizens. To join the movement that is strengthening and exercising the principles of the United States Constitution, please obtain your AP card by visiting NativeAmericanChurch.us today.
Dry ground, sagebrush and mesquite and chaparral around, out away's a big dust devil moving on its way. I guess they're never still. In a sacred manner I live, to the heavens I gaze. In a sacred manner I live. My horses are many. The high grass and the cedar, the mighty oak and the tiny flower, the sandstone in the valley, mountains high and running streams. In a sacred manner I live, to the heavens I gaze. In a sacred manner I live. My horses are many. Many.